Hello everyone, welcome to Amplify Her Science Stories, the official podcast of the Yale OCR's Amplify Her Science Initiative. My name is Dr. Melissa Lopez-Anton, and I'll be co-hosting this podcast with my colleague, Dr. Megha Unhalkar. Let me take a moment to share my background, and then I'll pass the mic to Megha to introduce herself. As many of you, I'm an international scientist. I did my PhD in Europe at a different country from where I come from, and I moved to the States for my postdoctoral research. In my early career, I got interested in entrepreneurship, and I am happily now devoting 100% of my time helping faculty members at Yale University to take their science outside the laboratory as a Blavatnik Fellow. I'll pass it over to Megha.
Thanks, Melissa. Hi, everyone. I'm Megha Unhalkar and very excited to be here with a very, very special guest today. Amplify Her Science aims to promote and support new entrepreneurs who strive to further the impact of their life science discoveries at bench and beyond. And today we have Dr. Amy Divaranya, an example of what AHS actually signifies. She's honestly a big inspiration to me. I'm quickly going to give a short background to her, after which we can ask her to introduce herself. Amy is the CEO and founder of UVA, the first fertility translator with personalized steps to help get pregnant. Prior to UVA, Amy earned her PhD at Mount Sinai in genetics and genomic sciences, a master's in bioinformatics at NJIT, and a bachelor's in biology at Temple University. Amy also has a vast industrial experience of about more than 6 years, actually. With that, let's welcome Amy.
Hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me today.
We're so excited to have you. I gave a very short background of yours, and I'm sure I brushed over so many amazing things that you've done. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little more about yourself before we get started?
Sure. I think you talked about my training already, but on the side, I'm also a full-time mom. And it's been, I mean, luckily, UVA kind of came about on my journey to becoming a mom. So there's a lot of first, like, real-world experience that went into the product design and the current experience that we have. It's a very interesting journey being a female founder in this space. Like, healthcare in general, yes, but then also when you're trying to make waves in women's health specifically, it's a very interesting dynamic being a female founder. So I'm happy to dive into any of that as interesting to you.
Amy, you mentioned that you are a full-time mom and that UVA was, in a way, part of your journey in becoming a mom. You know, when I started my current position as a Blavatnik Fellow, my main aim was to help female founders in the women's health space, two areas that have been historically underfunded. Could you tell us more about this whole idea of UVA? It seems very different from your background.
Sure. So the idea for UVA really came to me when I was going through my own journey with trying to conceive my son. I've had irregular cycles my whole life, and it became very clear to me very quickly that for women who have irregular cycles, there really are two options available to you, chance or going through invasive treatment. If you have that perfect 28-day cycle, there's a plethora of solutions available, right? But the moment that you have an irregular cycle, those solutions become invalid for you. And if you read that small print in the box, it says, if you have polycystic ovarian syndrome or irregular cycles, our results aren't reliable. So I was like, well, why are we being excluded from solutions on the market? And it was very clear to me that what was missing was really understanding hormone levels, because that dictates everything in our reproductive cycle. So what I set out to do was identify a way to bring that hormone concentration and that data to a woman in her home, because I didn't want to go to a clinic every day. I was a very busy person. I didn't have that time, nor did I have the funds to really go in for that blood work every single day. So how do I make this affordable and convenient for a really busy person to be able to do and still achieve their fertility goals? And so here today we have UVA, which is the first at-home test that monitors two critical hormones, luteinizing hormone and progesterone, quantitatively in the privacy of a woman's home. Super easy to use, you pee on the stick, very similar to how you would do a pregnancy test. You then scan it with a phone, and then we do all the analytics directly in our app, so you get your results in seconds.
That sounds so wonderful. I'm curious, you, the idea came to you because you said that you were going through something similar yourself. However, how did you make the change? Like, genomics is so different from fertility.
Yeah, so it's different. But then I guess like my PhD work, yes, it was in genomics, but it was more on Bayesian network analysis. So finding cause and effect between genes, why are you developing certain disease states versus others? So if you look at inflammatory diseases overall, right, they're using the same processes, but why is one patient getting lupus versus IBD or Alzheimer's disease even? Like, what is that trigger? And so I was using Bayesian networks to figure out what that cause and effect was. So that concept is not much different than fertility. And I was going through my own journey while I was at the end of my PhD. So I was able to find those parallels very quickly. I like to call myself a self-proclaimed expert when it comes to fertility, because I had to teach myself everything. Why do I need to know when I'm ovulating? Why does the fertile window matter? And it's just very frustrating that even being somebody who was in the medical space, I didn't have the knowledge or the information to understand why I was even getting a period every month and what that meant. We're not taught that information. And so I wanted to bridge that gap of, okay, how do, like, I just taught myself all this stuff. I'm pretty smart. I'm in this space. So it made much more sense to me than it would to my sister, who's a math teacher and has no scientific background. If she has trouble, she's going to Google the same articles and not walk away with the same information. So how do I make this more accessible to women? And so that problem that I was solving with my PhD actually translates very nicely to this problem as well.
That makes absolute sense and great answer.
Amy, during your scientific career, did you ever think that you would end up running a business? I'm very curious to know more about what your first steps were to entrepreneurship.
So I'll be honest, I never thought that I would be running a business or in the business space, right? Like my career trajectory was to med school or something in healthcare, but never as an entrepreneur. In fact, like when I was in undergrad, I avoided every business class like the plague, because like no one should ever trust me with their money. That's like where my mindset was at. But then when I was finishing up my PhD, I sat down with my advisor and he's like, okay, so where are we going next? Like, what introductions can I do? What do you want to do with your life? Let's plan this out. I'm like, all right, well, I don't want to go back to big pharma, because I felt like as a young person with a lot of big ideas, it takes a long time for those ideas to come to fruition in pharma. There's just a lot of red tape, a lot of ladders you have to climb. So I was like, I don't want to go there. Maybe a startup or a biotech. And so he's like, okay, I could do a lot of intros there. And we're talking about some companies. And then I was like, you know, I do have this idea, but I don't know what to do with it. And I pitched this problem that I was having. So I was like hip deep in like trying to conceive and collecting all this information and not being any closer to getting pregnant. And so I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to solve this problem. Do you know any company that is in this space? And he's like, Amy, this is something you need to see this through. And I was like, well, what does that even mean? Like, I don't know what that means. And he's like, no, like start a company and let's solve this problem. You can do this. And I was like, well, okay. And he's like, you know what? I have an investor coming here tomorrow. Why don't you just talk to him? And I was like, all right. He's like, get a pitch deck together. You can just sit with him for a little bit and he'll give you some feedback. I was like, all right, fine. I'm like all confident walking out. And I'm like, what the hell is a pitch deck? And so I went back to my desk and I Googled, what is a pitch deck? And I'm like, oh, okay, it's just like an explanation of your concept, like what you think the market is and all this stuff. I think the deck that I presented to this VC the next day was over 55 pages, right? Like it wasn't a beautiful deck, but it was full of my concept. And he was so kind. He flipped through every single page and he's like, Amy, this is great. You got to condense this into 7 to 10 slides. I was like, well, okay, I can do that, but okay. And so like, it was just like constant feedback like this. But that was really my first moment. And I'm like, I have no idea. He's like, what's the market size? I'm like, I don't even know what market size means. Like, I know I went through this. My best friend went through IVF. Yeah. Like, I know this is a thing, but I don't know what a market size is. So I'm like researching, what is TAM? What is like, what are the different demographics you can go after? Who is your target audience? Like I'm Googling all these things and trying to like make a deck. And it was so foreign to me because I'd never done anything like that. But it was really about being around the right people who were willing to give me the feedback that I needed to grow, and honestly being a sponge.
That is such a great story. As you can see, Melissa and I are actually smiling and laughing because that is such a shared experience, right? Having a 55-page deck, especially from scientists, is a very common thing. And I love the fact that this story highlights so many different things. For example, one thing I see is having right mentors is so important. And that was something that we spoke a lot about even in our pre-interview and something we should dive into later towards the end of podcast. But other thing I realized is that the entrepreneur community is actually very, very inclusive, right? The investor believed in you and believed in your idea and encouraged you to fix the things that were, I would say, not so good at that point. And it's especially encouraging to people who are new or clueless. It's such a sweet story. Can you highlight anything else or any other funny stories or such, you know, sweet moments that make you feel like, yes, entrepreneurship is the way to go. It's not just impactful as we've seen through you and Uva. It's also, you know, it's an encouraging feel that the community wants to help you do better.
Yeah, I think it was very close in timing to this first occurrence. It was like the first time that I was pitching. My advisor was so good, and he had lined up some really great investors, like people that like we would all dream to talk to were coming into our lab to speak with him, but then he would put me in front of them too. So I was like getting the chance to talk to top tier investors before I even had like a fleshed out deck or fleshed out idea, I should even say. And so there was one big investor coming in and he was like, Amy, let's just do a practice pitch. I'm like, okay, so let's do that. We went into the conference room that day and I'm presenting my deck, like exactly how you would present your dissertation, right? Like you have data on the slide, you are talking to the points, like you're talking about the graphs, like yeah. All that stuff. Slide two, he goes, Amy, where's the connection? Like, why you? Why are you the one that's doing this? Tell, like, you told me your story. Like, talk about that story. I'm like, no one wants to hear my story. Like, people have it so much worse than I do. Like, mine's nothing. And he's like, no, put yourself on a plate and serve it to them. Like, tell them exactly why you are the person to solve this problem. And it was such an unnerving moment for me because I'm pretty private, like in the sense of I'm not very active on social. I'm not like putting my life on blast. Like I will be open when people ask me questions, but I'm much more intimate in a one-on-one setting than I am putting my story on blast. I had to get comfortable with that really fast. And so I remember like when I was pitching my story that day in that practice, I was tearing up and he's like, that's the pitch. You need to show the emotion. You need to show why you care so much because being an entrepreneur, it's not a part-time job. You put your all into it. It's like your second child. And you need to be able to invest in not only like your time and your own money, but really that effort. And the effort is the hardest piece to invest in a startup. It's all you. And I think that's why he was like, you need to put that story on blast. Because now you're showing why you're so passionate about solving this problem.
That is such a learning moment for all of us who are in the field of startups and entrepreneurship. It's not just about working hard. It's also about believing in your idea, having the passion to pursue something and putting yourself out there. You know, having a story which means something to you actually convinces others as well that this is impactful science. It just shows that, you know, as all of us are in this science where we want to make impact, we want to bring each other up. Right.
It is fantastic that your PhD advisor and mentor was putting you out there for networking even before you had a solid idea of what later on became Uva. Can you talk about the role that mentorship has played in your career? Why was that important? How did you find mentors during your journey as a founder and CEO of Uva? And maybe some tips about how to network.
Sure. So I've been really fortunate over the course of my career to be surrounded by amazing mentors. I'm somebody that really loves to learn, obviously. I mean, you can see, like, I'm always in school, I'm always trying to learn more things, but not only like formal education, I just love learning from other people. So what I always try to do is surround myself with people who are much smarter than me and much more experienced than I am. Because if you surround yourself with people that are more, like, that have more experience, then you're going to end up becoming a stronger individual as well. And I'm also very conscious about what I don't know. I don't try to pretend like I'm an expert in everything, because no one can be, right? So I'm very humble about the fact that I don't know everything. And when I don't know something, I ask for help. And I try to surround myself with people who are experts in that space. I think that has enabled me to be surrounded by really amazing people. There's people who are really smart and successful, but then there's also people who are really smart and successful, but also want to help elevate others. And that's the kind of person I want to surround myself with, right? Because I need to grow, and I'm always looking for help and support. And those are the individuals that have really elevated me over the past few years. My PhD advisors are both amazing examples of that. And they're both advisors on my company now, because they followed my trajectory. Funny thing, people from Roche have also followed me into this company. So, like, it's just telling, like, when you surround yourself with the right individuals, they're with you for the long haul. As for my current network, it grows very quickly, because, like, I think, Mega, you said earlier, like, entrepreneurship is a pretty intimate environment. Like, it sounds like there's startups popping up left and right every day, but really, if you look at it, like, when you're in a space, you end up knowing all of the founders and the players in that space very quickly. So your network starts to grow organically as long as you are active in it. And what I've found to be really fruitful is, I have this on a post-it on my desk here too, but I've had it on my desk since I was in my PhD. My PhD advisor said one thing to me, like, the first day of my program. And he said, a rising tide lifts all ships. And if you think about the science space, right, it can be a very selfish environment where people don't want to share data. They don't want to share their code. It can have a lot of barriers. So the way that he dealt with things is, he's like, be an open book, because if someone uses your data, they are going to cite you too. And you guys both get elevated. So why would you want to just be closed off about your things? And then just, like, you can't do everything with it, right? And that concept has followed me my whole life. So when somebody asks me for help, even if they're like a competitor or doing something similar to me in the space, like, I will more than happy to chat with them and give them what my learnings are, because I believe paying it forward is always the way to go. It'll always come back to you tenfold. So I think just having that mentality has helped me grow my network organically as well.
As they always say, empowered women empower women. We should apply to everyone. Empowered people empower people. Amy, there was something else that you mentioned in pre-interview that stayed with me and will stay with me for a long time. You said networking is not just important for your own startup venture, but also in general to further yourself in life, to find mentors who can help you at different stages, and also grow a network that is not heavily involved in what you do exactly, so that they can give, like, an outsider perspective. You told me not to be shy to ask for intros, and also be careful not to have noise in your intros. Do you have any advice for people like me who are, you know, trying to grow their network, how to be wise, how to ask for intros, and how to actually identify mentors that would help you with your life's journey?
I think with what you just said, you're probably not giving yourself enough credit, because you probably have those mentors in your network right now that you're not tapping into. So, I mean, I'm a huge culprit of this too. Like, I've been shy my whole life. And so, like, I'll be honest, when we went to our first networking event post shutdown in 2020, I stood at my little UVA table and I didn't want to talk to anyone because I didn't know how. Like, I completely forgotten how to network. And, like, it was very odd. But then, believe it or not, that is that same event is where I met my head of marketing, and I hired her 3 weeks later. So I think you probably aren't giving yourself enough credit to ask for help. And something that I've learned very quickly is to be humble, and people, that resonates with people. The startup ecosystem is full of a lot of really big egos. And when you don't have one, it's really refreshing to the other person. And I find that I've never heard no when I've asked for help or asked a question. Never. In science, you never say anything's 100%. This is 100%. I have never heard the word no. And it's because I've been, one, very direct about what I need. So I usually have like, okay, I'm thinking of pivoting my business to now focus more on this area versus this. And I think what I'm lacking right now is I've tested this concept out, but this is the piece that I'm not able to really take to the next level. I just need someone who has done this before. Do you know anybody? So yeah, initially you go to the same 2 to 5 people that are in your network that kind of become your main conduits to their network. And you ask them to tap into their network. Typically they're not nervous to do that because they already trust you and they're already mentoring you. Once they go out 1 degree, now you can bring those people in and make them your first degree as well, right? And so it's really about you being at the, like, pushing yourself forward to consistently make relationships with the new people that you're talking to.
We've learned plenty about new ventures and the importance of mentorship and networking. Something else we wanted to touch base on was the fact that you emphasize on redefining normal with OVO. That is something that Mega and I identify with. In fact, this is a podcast for people who are trying to redefine their own training and career following a path that is not the traditional or expected one in a sense. Do you have any advice for people like us?
I'll be honest. So when I was doing my undergrad, if you follow the course curriculum the way they have it laid out, there's no way you're going to finish in 4 years. Because the way they lay the courses out, the courses you're supposed to take in spring semester, because it's like part two, it's not available in spring semester. It's only available in the fall. So they set you up to stay for at least an extra semester. I figured that out day one. And so I redid my entire schedule so that I could finish in 4 years. I could have finished in 3.5, but decided to take on a second whatever. But like, you have to take the bull by the horns and take control of your journey. So when we say redefining normal for UVA, what that means is, like, women's health overall has just really been compared to the standard textbook hormone behavior, right? So if you look at any of these ovulation tests or pregnancy tests, there's a traditional behavior that they expect, and the tests are hardwired to detect that trend. Now, if you have irregular cycles or some sort of a reproductive disorder like polycystic ovarian syndrome, you may not fit that trend, but your hormone pattern is completely normal for you. So what we're trying to do with UVA is we're trying to redefine what that pattern needs to be for every single woman. Because to us, the normal pattern is the really irregular one. It's not the one that belongs in a textbook. So on the data side, that's how we're handling it. But then on, like, my life side, nothing I'm doing is normal. Nothing that any of us are doing is normal anymore. We are not meant to be working from home 7 days a week. There's a reason we have a weekend. It's meant to be time off. But with this new environment that we're all in, I don't think anyone's taking time off. And it's very hard to define what your normal workday is, what your normal schedule is. It changes every single day. So if you're trying to, like, really redefine what you want your life to be, it's your responsibility, and you have that authority to make the decisions and define what that is.
I mean, that is such a learning moment, right? In a way, all three of us that are here, actually redefining normal. This is not what normal was in 60s and 70s. You know, women, people of color, immigrant, I'm an immigrant, higher education, so many things. And I love it. And why not? It is the time to redefine normal. You've done that not just through UVA as an idea, as a company that deals with fertility issues and personalizes them for each individual woman, but you've also done that as, like, one of the trailblazer women in the venture world. One thing that Melissa and I both wrote down in caps when we were doing your pre-interview was, you mentioned that the important skill to learn is the skill to walk away. And you said that, especially as women, this is a big deal. We should know our value, our brand, and walk away when things are not right. I think it's an important skill for all entrepreneurs. You know, some, even if you're just simply talking about raising funds, some VCs might not be a great fit. And some VCs are just perfect to take your company forward. I want to ask you a question on a very casual level, not just for funding, but do you have any comment or advice on this very skill, like know your value and walk away?
Yeah, I mean, so I'll give you the advice and then I'll tell you a little quick story about why I say this. I think when you're a first-time founder, it's very easy to fall into the trap of, oh my God, there's so many people who've done this before me. They do this day in, day out. I don't have the experience. They know better than I do. Take a step back and look at what you're presenting, because everything that you have put on that desk or that you're talking about today, you built. And they didn't. And trust me, you are the smartest person in the room that day. You know that product, you know that space, you know that market better than they do. No matter what they say, what question they ask, you know it better than they do. So walk in with that confidence and you are going to close the right deal. I will say, like, every investor and every person that has touched Uva today has been such a blessing. And if anything, they've set the bar really high for anyone that comes after them. So I'll give you a quick example. I was pitching at an event and they were doing diligence. They were in the middle of a diligence call with me. Actually, it was a meeting because we were still in person. And there were about 7 people around the table. I was the only one from Uva. And they were all asking their questions on like our IP, our financials, the whole 9 yards. And this one guy kept asking questions like, so who's making all the business decisions? And I was like, well, it's been me. Like all the decisions that you see here, it's been me. It's the things I'm not confident on. I ask my advisors. I'm really fortunate to have amazing people that are backing me up in the company. So I lean on them a lot. I'm not scared to ask for help. And he seemed satisfied with that answer. One question later, he asked, but you don't have any business training. And I was like, I know, but I'm figuring it out. And I moved on from that. So I was like, okay, now you're getting borderline disrespectful. And then he says, he took a breath and he's like, you don't have an MBA. So how would you feel like you're qualified to make these decisions? And I was like, then I stopped. And I was like, there's other questions coming at me. And I stopped those questions. And I was like, look, I have built a lateral flow assay from scratch, being a data scientist and a geneticist. I never once built a lateral flow assay before this project, if you want to call it a project. He also referred to Uva as a project many times. I have been Googling how to make a business plan. It's much easier to Google how to make a business plan than it is to Google how to make a lateral flow assay. And so if you are making decisions on your investments based off of who has the business know-how, I promise you, you are missing out on a lot of deals. And then I walked out of that meeting. 3 of the people that were doing diligence chased after me saying, Amy, he's not going to be involved in the deal. Like, we really want to come in. I'm like, I don't care. You guys trust him enough to sit at the table with us. I don't want him involved in our company. I don't trust your decision. I was very strong that day because I was like, he's blatantly insulting me in front of all of you and no one is saying anything. So how do I trust that after you put money in here, when you actually have a stake in my company, you're still going to stand up for me?
Amy, that's such a great story. That is a learning moment indeed, where you learn the skill to walk away when it's not the right time, right place, right people.
Amy, this was a fabulous chat. We've learned a good deal. As we get towards the end of our podcast, we would love to get your closing comments. Do you have any further advice or is there anything else you would like to add?
I think the biggest piece of advice that I would give you, there's 2 things. One is be a sponge. When you are on this journey, no matter what school you came from, what your past experience is, what your family has done, you have no idea what the road of an entrepreneur is. And you need to be able to learn from the people around you who have done it before. And then also importantly, learn from the people who are on the journey alongside you. So don't hesitate to ask for help. Be humble. Soak up as much as you can because there's so much to learn. And in a way, it's really exciting. The second piece of advice I would give is be ready for the most exciting and the hardest ride that you have ever been on. I was talking to one of my advisors last year and I was like, I'm like, mentally and physically exhausted, and I've never felt this in my life. I am somebody who runs on 2 hours of sleep a night and I'm fine. And I'm like, I'm having trouble like picking up my cup to drink my chocolate milk in. Like I'm so exhausted. And he's like, well, you're in a full contact sport. Of course you are. And you don't get a moment to take a break. So of course you're exhausted. And when he put it in those terms, I was like, you know what? I signed up for this, and this is my training. You're on a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not something that you're going to see like success in a month, a year, 5 years. This is a marathon, and you have to be in it for the long haul in order for this to be successful. I believe that the reason that startups fail, there's such a high failure rate, is because the founders aren't able to stay in it for the long haul. It's very hard. But I believe if you stay in it and you keep going after that vision and that dream that you have, it's going to be incredibly successful.
Amy, thank you so much. To recap some great points that you made today and reminded us of: one, be a lifelong learner. Two, don't be nervous. And three, pick good mentors, have a supportive network, and tap into that. With that, let us all thank Amy once again for chatting with us. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Stay in touch. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, or subscribe to our email newsletter to hear about upcoming events. It will also be posted on our website, ocr.yale.edu/amplifyherscience. Let's all spread the word. Keep amplifying.
If anyone is interested in learning more about UVA, you can check out our website at www.oova.life. That's uva.life. Or follow us on social at UVA Life on every platform.